Welcome to the Dr. DeMartini Show, where international author, teacher, speaker, and philosopher, Dr. John DeMartini shares his wisdom on how you can empower every area of your life. In today's episode, Dr. DeMartini is sharing his valuable insights around exactly what it takes to start masterfully planning a life of fulfillment, satisfaction, and accomplishment. It's said only 3% of the world's population takes the time to master plan what they would love to see in their lives, which is why this episode aims to fuel you with some real, actionable, and practical steps so you can begin the process starting today. As an initial action step, Dr. DeMartini recommends you determine your values, which can be done for free over at drdemartini.com/values. Enjoy the episode.
So we've got a few questions for you. So the first one is, some people insist that they don't set goals, you know. What do you say to people who feel that setting goals is, not important?
Well, I think I'll start by saying that most people, if they look really integrally and honestly at their life, they'll notice that if they don't fill their day with high priority actions that really inspire them and have an agenda planned, that unexpected distractions and opportunistic others come into their life and kind of wipe out the day. The day gets filled up with other stuff. And the same thing on a week and a month and a year and a decade and a generation and a life. If you don't fill your day with high priority actions that inspire you, your days, lives, or whatever, fill up with low priority distractions. So the purpose of goals is to decide what you really want in life, what you want to accomplish. Now, would you agree that if you don't get up in the morning and do that, there's nobody else out there going to be doing it? Nobody's going to get up in the morning and dedicate their life to the fulfillment of what's most important to you. They're not even going to know what they think you want, what they think you should have or will have in their life. You. So it's essential to decide, because nobody's going to, get up and do it for you. So you got to make that decision for yourself. And goals, the reason why many people don't set goals or are frightened of goals, hesitant about it, is because they don't really know what's important to them. They're so used to fitting into society and injecting the values, traditions, conventions, and idealisms of society about how they're supposed to be, that they set goals that aren't really priority to them. They don't stay focused on them because it's not really important to them. And they're giving up because they're not really pursuing it. Because anything that's not really high on your values, you're not going to stay with. And so you're going to end up thinking, well, why set a goal? Because I never do it anyway. So then you'll discourage it from doing it. So it's very important to set goals that are really aligned with what you really value, what's really priority in your life, because then you will actually increase the probability of achieving them. You'll build momentum. You'll take command. You'll love doing that. You'll wake up leadership. You'll attract other people to help you fulfill those goals. And that's the main reason why people don't do goals, is because they end up self-defeating themselves on it, and they don't want to do that. It's discouraging, and so they give up on it. So they don't. They have a motto that, you want to make God laugh, tell him your goals. Well, you'd have a hard time convincing me of that, because I've set goals now for 47 years, and I'm absolutely certain that I've increased the probability of achieving those because I've written them down, I've metriced them, I've made sure they were real, I made sure they were congruent with what I valued most, and they've come true. And a lot of them have come true. I mean, majority of them. So I guess people who want to set fantasies instead of real objectives are going to end up self-defeating and not wanting to set goals. And that's why a lot of people don't do it. They don't know the difference between a real objective that's really congruent, that's really aligned, and fantasies of trying to live under other people's expectations.
And many people struggle to set goals because or they don't have a clear vision. What does a person do if they are not clear but want to set goals? Is it a waste of time, or should they rather spend their time getting clear on their vision? So to having a vision and a goal, what is the importance of it? What effect does it have on it, on setting goals?
Well, everybody has a set of priorities, and I've said this many times in many of the webinars. Everybody has a set of priorities, a set of values in their life, things that are most important to least important. Whenever they are setting action steps or goals and objectives and intentions on that highest value or the top values, their blood glucose and oxygen goes into the forebrain. And when it goes in the forebrain, that area of the brain is linked to the visual cortex, and you awaken clarity of vision about what you want to do. I've worked with people in the breakthrough experience and also in master planning where they're writing down things that they think they want. It's not totally congruent. We keep playing with it and tweaking it until we get something that's clear and certain. If you're not certain about it, it's not it. When you're writing down a real goal, you know that's what you want to do. Your life demonstrates it. You feel certain. I tell people to start with what you know and let what you know grow. Don't waste your time on things that are uncertain. Don't waste your time on things that are just flaky. Write down something you know. When I first started writing down objectives when I was 17, there with Paul Bragg, I knew that I wanted to travel the world. I wrote that down. I knew that I wanted to overcome my learning challenges. I wrote that down. I knew that I wanted to be intelligent in my life because I had a void in that, and I knew I wanted to do that. And there was a strong desire for that, strong commitment to that. And I wrote that down. I only wrote down what I was certain about. And then I would read that, and then every time I would read that, another little idea would come in, and I would add to it, and I'd build it. And then I'd read it again, and I'd refine it. And I'd read it again, and I'd refine it. And I just kept reading and refining and reading and refining and keeping it where I only write in what's certain. Wasting your time on some frivolous thing that's not really, you're not committed to, that's kind of nebulous, that's not really important to you, that you think you should be doing by somebody outside that is suggesting it, or you're comparing yourself to somebody and trying to be somebody you're not and setting up fantasies. This is not how to build up momentum achieving goals. So I start with what I know and let what I know grow. And if I find that I'm not making any effort on it within a short period of time, a week, a month or something, there's no effort going on it, nothing's happening on it, I make sure I go back to it and I refine it again. And then I keep metrics. I keep records of what I am achieving on it daily. I mean, I literally, what I've written out and what I'm actually getting to do every day, I'm metricing that. Because if you really have a value on a goal, you'll metric it. That's what I tell people when I'm doing master planning, and to make sure that they keep records and document and keep records of it. I have 5,000 pages of recorded documents and metrics of goals that I have and things that I'm grateful for that I get to do and document. So it's not just a little flim thing you'd come up with and you think, well, I'll do that and then I'll throw that on some bookshelf somewhere. It's a daily habit that you take command of your life and decide how I want my life, and is it really sincere and is it really true, and am I showing evidence of it with metrics? Am I making progress? If I'm not making evidence and it's not making progress, it must not be important to me. Because things that are really important to you, you don't stop, you don't waver from, you stay focused on. So I want those in my goal book. I don't want anything else. I don't want to waste my time on frivolous fantasies that because I've compared myself to somebody else and thought, oh, they've got something, I should do that. I want something that you're committed to, that your life demonstrates, it's highest on your value, that you're really focused on. And that's where you're going to build momentum. And that's that area in the brain, that executive center lights up and gives you clear vision when it's congruent and you see it. And I've had people in master planning or breakthrough, both of them, where all of a sudden that they come on and you can see it in their eyes. They see it. They see how strategically how, and they feel that it's done. It's destined. It's not some fantasy of the future. It's like, I got it. I know what to do now. I'm just willing to take actions and make it happen now. And that's what you want. And then, you know, when Michael Phelps went out and did all the swimming, he saw his vision in his mind so clearly that he could see every stroke. He could see everything. He saw in his mind's eye. There's a book many years ago in the 70s called The Mind's Eye, Your Mind's Eye. And that's, if you can see it in your mind so crystal clear and you can see the strategies on it, which is the time that's what that means when you got your executive center online, it's yours. It's done. Anybody in any field of mastery in sports knows this. And I'm a firm believer that, you know, the way we do our life is no different than a sports master. We create what we want in our mind's eye. I wrote out that I wanted to go to every country on the face of the earth. In January, it'll be 154 countries I've been in and speaking. I've done the breakthrough. That'll be 64 countries for the breakthrough experience. I metric everything because things that are really important to me, I want to make sure I'm making progress towards. And you want to ask yourself what worked and what didn't work and keep refining it and remodel the goal. Don't think the goal's set and it's stuck. It's a remodeling, polishing it, and refining it as you go until you're clear on it and you're seeing evidence of it.
And Dr. DeMartini, let's talk about SMART goals. I know it's a big buzzword in the world of goal setting. Can you advise what's your take on it, on SMART goals?
Well, the SMART had two different acronyms. One of them was specific, and I think there's the value in that. If you say, I want to be successful, that's really vague. What the hell does that mean? They say, I want to be wealthy. Well, what does that mean? That doesn't tell you anything. Let me give you an example. If you want to know what financial independence is, I have people say, I want to be financially free. That's so nebulous. No one knows what that is. It means nothing. It's a waste of time to even set a goal like that. But if you say that I want to have a passive income of $250,000 a year, or $100,000 a year, or $1 million a year, or $2 million, or $5 million, or $10 million, whatever the amount is, I want a specific amount. I want to know what my assets are right now, my total assets. I want to know what my total liabilities are. I want to know exactly what my total net worth is at this current moment. I want to know exactly how much I want passively annually. So let's say $250,000 or $100,000, whatever the number. That's a specific. That's not general. It's not wealthy. It's specific. Then I need to know what is the average interest rates I'm going to earn on all my different types of investments. What's an average? What is the average inflation rate that I'm going to be up against? Because I got to subtract that from my interest rate. What exactly is the total net worth that I need, the exact amount at that interest rate with that inflation rate to give me that exact number I want passively annually? And then what exactly is the shortfall between my current net worth and that amount that I need? And then how am I going to do that? What's my strategy? What are my specific actions that's going to get me from where I am to where I want to go? And in the time frame, factoring in inflation. These are all very specific numbers. There's not vagueness in it. And when I got really specific on it and I got a strategy in place that was specific, I got actions and I got financially independent. And that number has grown because what I originally thought was sufficient is now 20 times that amount. And so I achieved 20 times what I originally set out on my goal in financial independence. So I'm a real believer that you can't just set nebulous, fantasy, diluted, vague generalities like I want to be successful, I want to be wealthy, I want to have a great relationship. Doesn't mean anything. To the brain. The brain has got to work with specifics, got to do specific actions in specific times and specific places where you have a specific outcome. So that's S for SMART. Then the other one is measurable. You need to be able to metric it. How do you know if you're doing it if it's got no quantitative or qualitative measurement? So you need to be able to measure that thing to know that you're making progress. When I set out to do speaking around the world, I'm at 2,037 different cities I've spoken in. It'll be 2,038 very shortly. And so I keep a record of every city that I want to go into, every continent, every country. I'm a metric freak on the goals that I set out. You know, if I said I want to go and do a thousand consulting for 1,000 companies, I keep records of all the companies I've consulted. So I get my 2,000, which I've done. So I'm a metric guy, and measurement is a sign that you're committed to something. That's why it's important. The other one is basically, something that's aligned with your values. A stands for alignment. If you're not aligned and you're setting a goal that's not really, really, really congruent with what you're committed to, you're going to end up petering out. You'll start it, you'll give up on it, and you're not going to stay with it. So it has to be aligned. Then you end up having something that it's reachable. It has to be something attainable. You can't just set up a fantasy that I want to, buy Earth. We're not ready to buy Earth yet. Elon Musk isn't going to be able to buy Earth right now. So you want to get sure it's realistic and it's reachable. And so if I said that I wanted to, make $1 billion in a day, that's probably less reachable unless I have an amazing strategy. If I have a great strategy for it, I could do it, but I got to be able to have the strategy. I got to maybe be able to IPO with enough money and enough leverage to be able to do that. But I have to have a strategy that's specific, that's a measurable strategy to get me that goal. So you need to make sure it's reachable with the strategy. The strategy and the reachables have to be matching. Another thing you have to do is make sure that the goal is congruent and not contradictory. Many people's goals are contradictory. They say they want to be able to work so many hours a week. They want to make so much per hour. The total they want to do is not, none of them match. And so your brain just deletes them all. So you need to make sure they're realistic and that they're compatible and they're not competitive. They're not competing with each other and contradicting each other. And then the last one is make sure that they're timed and there's a time frame on it that's reasonable. If you say you're going to be able to do it in in a week or a month or a year. You got to make sure you have the strategy to hold you accountable to do it. I had a very interesting thing. I was involved in a mastermind group here in Houston, literally one floor down below where I am here today. I'm up on the 52nd floor here in my office. But one floor down on the 51st floor, we had a mastermind group, and we really had a very high profile mastermind group. These were people that were movers and shakers on the planet. And some are very wealthy. One that helped found Kmart Corporation, Supercuts. One has the biggest land ownership in Texas. There's some really quality people, the biggest oil man, really quality group of people. And that mastermind, we had accountabilities. At the end of the mastermind every week, each person had to declare what they were committed to getting done next week. And if you didn't deliver it, you're out of the mastermind. You had no choice but to get that done. And so you had to find enough of a stretch, because if you didn't push yourself, then, you know, why would they want you in the mastermind? You got to go do something with your life. At the same time, if you went overboard and exaggerated yourself, you're out. So you had to find that stretch, right, a comfort and uncomfort, to make sure you pushed yourself to the highest level, but at the same time, get it done. And then you had to be accountable, because you did not want to be out of that group. It's a very powerful group. So having something that is actually in a time frame that's measurable, that's realistic, and that's aligned, and something specific, does have an impact on goals. So I think that stands the test of time, the old SMART technique. But there's many acronyms of what those letters mean, but those are ones that I just aligned them with.
And Dr. B. Martin, why is it easy to see goals in some areas of life, but in others it's more difficult to see the details of what we want to achieve?
Well, that's interesting. When I do master planning for life, or in the breakthrough experience, when I'm having them do the love list, I find that some people, based on their hierarchy of values, whatever's highest on the value, they can sit down and write goals, you know, just flow with those goals. And the areas that are low on their values, they don't even know where to begin. And this is not uncommon. But at the same time, any area of your life you don't empower, somebody's going to overpower you. So if you don't empower yourself in each area, if you don't empower yourself intellectually, you'll be told what to think. If you don't empower yourself in business, you'll be told what to do. If you don't empower yourself financially, you'll be told what to work. Don't empower yourself in a relationship, you'll be trapped in something that's unfulfilling. You don't empower yourself in your social leadership power, you'll probably be told propaganda to believe in, which every country has. If you don't empower yourself physically, you'll be told what drugs to take or what organs to remove. If you don't empower yourself spiritually, you'll be told some dogma that's probably antiquated. So if you don't empower yourself, somebody's going to overpower you. That's why goals are essential, because you're going to be overpowered and you're going to be living as a follower, not a leader, if you're not leading. You got to lead your life if you want to be a leader. And if you're following, you're basically going to be living in other people's expectations and live by duty and shoulds and ought tos and supposed tos and got tos and have tos and must and conformity instead of enormity. And so if you don't set the goals that are really clear in all areas, you'll be overpowered. But typically, you'll have an area that stands out because that's your highest value. So what I do is I take the other areas and I link how putting energy into those and how mastering those is going to help me in my most important value. And the more I see the links between them, the more engaged in all of them. And that's how I was able to do it. When I was, probably 18, I started setting a goal to be a master of life. I really didn't know what that was in detail yet. I knew some, but I didn't know as much as I know today about it. But I wanted to master my life. And I saw that there were seven areas of life. And so around age 18 to 20, I was working on all those areas. But at 20, I started really getting more concise, less nebulous. And I said that I wanted to be able to create original ideas that serve humanity. I've been saying since I was 20, I create original ideas that serve humanity. I create original ideas that serve humanity. I wanted to create original ideas and tools and methods and procedures that I knew no one else has done, that's unique, that makes a difference. I wanted to create an international business. I knew I had maps of the world. I had globes in my office. I had clocks from every country way back in my 20s. And I wanted to be able to have a global company. And today we have students in every country now. And because of that vision, working on that, using every media, anything we can do to get that message out there across the world, that's been done. I want to be financially independent. That happened at age 37, and that's grown. I'm still financially independent, but that's grown 20-fold. I want to be able to have a global family dynamic. And now I was just with my daughters in Hawaii the other day, and I'm now in Houston, and I was in London with my daughter, the other daughter, and I'll meet them in different countries. I have a global family dynamic, because I didn't want to be in just a little suburbial little box with a fence around it that I can't see out of, that's blocking my view. Ed Tellison, one of my mentors when I was 20, said, never live where you can't see the farthest horizons. That's why I put my office up where I can see the farthest horizon, so I never have anybody blocking my view. Very important psychologically. And I basically also wanted to be able to have a social influence. And I started out with a list of 50 celebrities that had global influence in the world that I wanted to meet. And I ticked them off as I met them all. And then that's now over 2,300 names of global influence in the world that I've gotten to meet. And I've ticked them off. I've got pictures of me with them. I've got records of them, of people I've met that have been to my seminars or live or doing consulting or end up in movies with or whatever. I wrote that down. I want to have a physical vital body. I still have more energy than most people that are younger than me. I'm 65 now, and I keep more energy and keep a very, very intense schedule. And most people can't keep up with me, and they can't even walk as fast as I do. So I want to have a vital body and, keep some health and vitality there. And I also want to be inspired, and I want to create an inspired movement. I didn't want to subordinate to any religion or any, school of thought. I wanted to create my own and create something that inspired people. When I put the DeMartini Method program together, or the Breakthrough Experience program and the DeMartini Method in it, I wanted to create a model and a method that they could use and they could inspire their lives and take, no matter what happens, find the hidden order in it and do something amazing with their life. And that's why I love doing Breakthrough. I've done it 1,000 friggin' nearly 90 times now. And I love doing that because I get my spiritual message out there. And I believe that inspired message is that people deserve to live a congruently life according to their highest values, where they're inspired spontaneously. And regardless of faith or religion or whatever construct or school of thought you want, that you deserve to be an inspired individual. That's the movement I wanted to create. And I've created a method for that. So I set out to do that in all areas. I linked all of those to my primary objective of learning and teaching. And I've been able to do that. So it'd be impossible to convince them you can't, because I've done it. And I know that people who I've trained who have done it, applied it, they get the same results. So it's just, the key is to make sure you find out what you value most and link all the rest of them to it and change your perception. Don't put yourself in a box about how it's supposed to be according to somebody else's value system. If somebody said, well, this is how a family is supposed to look like, and then it doesn't match that, I'm thinking I'm missing out. This is what a health regime looks like. And if you're comparing it to that, you're going to think, oh, I'm missing out. But it's designing your form of it and honoring the form of it and not creating some artificial box that somebody else's with a different set of values lives by. So don't subordinate and take command of your own structure. That's why master planning is so important. And that's why planning and setting goals are so important in your life. You can't master your life without a plan. If you're not living with foresight and structuring things in advance, you're living by hindsight. Hindsight in trial and error is the lowest way of living. That's living behind. Imagine if you go, well, I'll be wealthy somehow by hindsight. Not going to happen. You have to plan it. You have to electronically automate, serve people. There's a structure to it. And if you apply it, you get wealthy. It's not going to happen just hopefully and praying. And it's just going to somehow do it on its own. It's in the plans. I hopefully get across the idea that setting goals and plans are the difference. Alan McKinsey in The Time Trap that I read when I was around 27, 8, very clearly showed that people, the CEOs of the big companies, the major leaders, the inventors, the really leaders of the world, they have more of their time spent in planning and more delegating than actually sitting there being redundant in a working class environment. As they're using their forebrain to strategically plan and delegate things and then let other people do things to help them get there. If you're not delegating, don't expect to live it. And you're not going to delegate if you don't plan and structure things. So I there's no way you're going to take out plan. It's just people that live in a fantasy of, just go with the flow and all that crap. I laugh at that because I don't see the great pyramid of Egypt built without a plan. You don't just go, well, let's go see if we can manifest a pyramid or the Great Wall of China or the great buildings of the world or the great Babylon walls, hanging walls of Babylon or maybe the great Brooklyn Bridge or whatever. Everything was done with plans that's of any significance that's been built. Life's that way. You don't get to go to SpaceX and go up there with a Tesla with Elon Musk without some plans, without engineering and without structure and without foresight. You don't make it to the moon. You don't make it to Mars without foresight. So the pioneers are people out that are foresighting, and they're looking for problems to solve and they're looking for plans to solve them. And so that's you know, if you want to live in la la land and fantasy land that you just want to go with the flow and just let things happen and whatever happens is cool, man. And that's just meant to be. I had a group of people at some religious organization I was speaking to, and they were just saying, well, you know, if it was meant to be, it will just happen. Bullshit. You know, I'm a firm believer that you can take command of your life and not be living at the expense of fantasies and dissociations and blaming things on the outside. I'd rather take command. And people say, well, that's not, I can't do it. It doesn't work. That's because they set fantasies as goals instead of real goals.
And how do you know if you are setting fantasies versus a real goal?
I'm on a roll. what was the question? How do you know a fantasy from a goal?
Yeah, how do you know? Like you said, how do you know if you're setting a fantasy versus a real goal?
If you have to ask the question, it's got too much fantasy left. If you're certain about it, you know, and you got a strategy, and you know, if I do this and I do this and I do this and I do this, I'm going to get a goal. See, I knew when I first started on my journey to learning, I had a learning problem, right? I didn't know how to read. So the first thing that I went to is I got a dictionary out. And I figured I'm going to start memorizing syllables and words and memorizing words, because I know that if I study words, I'll have a higher probability of being able to read. So I started with a dictionary. Then when I went from a dictionary, I went to encyclopedias, and I started reading encyclopedia. Every time I'd get a new word, I'd read it. And if I didn't know the word, I'd get a dictionary out. And I knew that if I studied dictionaries and I knew that I studied encyclopedias, I would eventually learn how to read. And I knew that I'd eventually know how to do it. And sometimes I read a phrase in a dictionary in an encyclopedia. I didn't know what it was. And I worried every single word, look it up on the dictionary until I knew what that sentence meant and got meaning out of it. And I grew my vocabulary until I could read, and I could read faster. And then I just knew that if I read more books, I would increase the probability of my speed. And I knew if I read more, I'd have more information. And if I had more information, I'd probably make wiser decisions from it. And there was a logic to it. It wasn't just a random thing. It wasn't, I want to be a teacher just because I wanted to just, you know, fantasize about it. I put the effort into it. And I think that there's a pathway that's efficient and effective, and you want to learn more effective and efficient pathways, but there's still work involved. And when I look for people that want to do the 4-hour work week, I just go, yeah, sure. I don't think anything, even Tim Ferriss doesn't work 4 hours a week. That's crap. He works way more hours than that, but he just sells a book that sounds like that.
Hmm. And Dr. DeMartini, you talk about setting goals beyond your lifetime. Can you explain why and how a person can do that?
Well, you don't set, you know, people go around and we say we're immortal souls, but we never set immortal goals. But I have a really amazing example that I'm going to share. Because I'm a believer in setting goals. I don't think anybody who's done setting goals, who's done that.
And what is your immortal goal, Dr. DeMartini?
Well, I'll explain it. But yeah, I just want to say that most people, when they set a goal and they read it and they read it every day, they notice that their mind becomes more alert to synchronicities, opportunities, and things that align with it. They start having events synchronized with it that make it easier to get the goal. I don't think anybody would overlook that if they were doing goals right. But I realized that, and I was in Italy many years ago. This is at 1999, so that's 20 years ago, I believe. No, 20 years ago. Right now, in fact. And I went to do the breakthrough experience there. And on the following Monday, I drove around and walked around Rome with Antonella Dwight. And I was going through and I found this square that was covered in red rose petals and roped off. It was the size of about a soccer field, well, football field or whatever. And it was red rose petals, the entire thing, millions of red rose petals. In the center was a bronze statue on a marble base. And it was Giordano Bruno. And when I saw that, and I asked, you know, in Italian, what the hell is going on here, the people from Italy. And they said, well, they're honoring Giordano Bruno because they burned him at the stake 400 years earlier on that day for being a genius, you know, 400 years ahead of his times, that people weren't ready for his ideas. And the church burned him at the stake because he was not believing what Aristotle believed. He believed in an infinite universe with infinite worlds and infinite beings. And here's now Aristotle saying, no, we live in a finite world with finite beings, etc. And the church was wanting to use Aristotle's idea and Ptolemaic cosmology to promote they ran the universe kind of thing. Because Catholic means universal. And here's a guy that comes along and disrupts that. And they literally put him in prison, burn him at the stake, But before he was burned at the stake, he wrote a posthumous biography about how he wanted to be perceived that was left behind, you know, 500 years into the future. And when I got to see that and read about that, I was inspired. And when I saw that location, I decided that night to devour and write a posthumous biography of how I want to be perceived 1,000 years in the future. And I wrote this thing out, and it was one of those Tom Cruise, Jerry Maguire, tear-jerking, spontaneous writings. It was 23 pages long. It's now about 27 pages, but I've edited it and played with it since, polished it. But I wrote this, what I wanted to accomplish, that I imagined, this is before Wikipedia, that today Wikipedia would probably say about me 1,000 years from now, kind of thing.
Wow.
And, I wrote that out, and I started reading it, and it was one of the most inspiring things I could read. I still have it on my computer today. I still devour and go through that and read it again and update it. It's still the most inspiring little piece. And as a posthumous biography, well, in 2000, a really cool thing happened. I was asked to speak at the Milk Abbey in Austria with 11 other speakers, or 12 of us speaking at a major conference there called the Walzell Conference. And there were 200 leaders there from around there gathered in this beautiful room that kind of looked like the Sistine Chapel. There was media, television media and newspapers and magazines, and there were all the media press conference all around filming it and taking videos of it. And I was one of the speakers there. And on Saturday night after I spoke that day, they had us come into the main library at the Abbey and put us in a semicircle. And they gave us, maybe I can get that little stand right here, that little tube. I'll show you So what they did is they gave each of us a stainless steel tube. And this is what I'm holding up right now is a replica of it. This says the Walzell Conference, if you can see it there, 2008. So they gave us a stainless steel tube that had inside it 365 quotations from my books and the DeMartini method scrolled onto scroll paper, calligraphied onto scroll paper with a ribbon around it, put inside, vacuum sealed, sealed tight, where no air was in it. They gave us this as a kind of a replica to remind us of it, but they made one that was a little bit bigger, a little wider, and we had the opportunity to go down the library into a special vaulted room that they had to open up. It's an airtight room where they store ancient scrolls. And we went in there and went in, and they had an Infinity of Divinity library shelf that was 12 feet high. And I got to put that cylinder in the center of the Infinity of Divinity library shelf. And you know the Infinity of Divinity is the term I used inside my breakthrough experience. And I put it in there, and there's my 365 quotes and my DeMartini method sitting there, calligraphy paper, stainless steel, airtight sealed for 1,000 years. I was in tears in my eyes because it was just amazing that this has come true, that the goal that I set in 1999, I'm absolutely certain now that 1,000 years from now, my material will be there. So that's how powerful an immortal goal beyond your life can be. But I also set up, you know, my foundation. I've set up a DeMartini Institute, and my daughter and all of my loved ones and Clarissa and other people will be carrying on some of that torch. And my facilitators around the world, they'll carry on the work. So that's part of the immortal plan. And I also have the DeMartini Prize that I intend to keep going and keep funding even beyond my life, and which is going to honor people that have done extraordinary things in the world. So if you set goals that go beyond your life, that are greater causes that keep you inspired, once you get financially independent, it'll give you a goal to go and build even more wealth. It'll give you a goal to keep you moving and keep expanding your network of social index and networks. It'll keep your telomeres going, so you have a longer vision. It'll make you live longer to go and do that. So I'm a firm believer in setting goals that are immortal goals that go beyond your life, because I know they come true. So I'm a firm believer in that. Most people don't realize that. They just think in terms of days, weeks, months, maybe years, instead of decades, generations, centuries and millenniums. You know, I would say that the factory worker lives day to day, the supervisor leaves week to week, the lower management month to month, middle management year to year, upper management decade to decade, the CEO thinks in terms of a generation, the visionary thinks in terms of a century, the sage thinks in terms of a millennium, and the soul thinks in terms of eternity. And so I believe if we, the more we live by our highest values, the more soul-directed we are, the more we live by our lowest values, the more sensory-based we are. And the sensory-based is immediate gratification, and the soul-based is long-term vision. And people with long-term vision and plan it out are going to get farther along than people who don't. There's no way Elon Musk can make it to Mars without a master plan beyond his own life.
And Dr. DeMartini, what are some of the things that hold people back from taking action on their goals?
Well, if they're not taking actions on the goals aren't really important to them. So they're setting up a fantasy that's low in the values. A fantasy is something that's one-sided. I want to be positive, never negative. I want to be kind, never cruel. I want to be happy, never sad. I want to do only one-sided actions. A fantasy is also something that has no strategy. There's no action steps you know to take. So you're just sitting there going, I want the thing, but I have no idea how I'm going to get there. And the other one is something that's not congruent with your value, highest value. And if you set something that's not really congruent with your highest value, you're not going to act. You're going to procrastinate, hesitate, frustrate. You're not going to strategically plan because you're not in your executive center. And you're going to want immediate gratification, which is what the amygdala does. The amygdala wants pleasure without pain. So it's a sign you haven't got in your executive center if you're not acting. Now, there are some goals that you're doing little micro actions towards that build momentum over time to get a goal. You know, when I said that I wanted to go to every country on the face of the earth, I knew that that wasn't going to happen overnight. That was a goal that's going to be for my life. And it's still got 50 something countries to reach. So I'm going to keep working on that. You know, you may have to believe in a Buddhist or a Hindu construct of many lives in order to get some of the goals. Who cares? But that's okay. I'm going to keep working on it. But I'd rather shoot for the stars and hit a planet than shoot for, you know, a molehill and not go very far. I'd rather, you know, push myself. But you got to make sure it's grounded with strategies. And people, you know, on The Secret, they came out with the idea they just hold a vision and it's there. But when I ask people, well, how do you get that vision? They go, I don't know. I said, well, that's because you haven't set a goal that's been congruent with your value, activated your executive center, and accessed the vision. So you can't just fantasize it's just going to hold a vision and you're going to get there. I'm a firm believer that you have a vision plus strategy plus actions plus internal dialogue, all the basic. You want to use your brain to the fullest to maximize achievements. Anything you leave out of what your brain can offer you to do it is silly. Might as well use it fully, not just partially.
Thanks for that, Dr. DeMartini. Please, the audience, can you ask if you want any questions for us? Please ask it in the comment section that I can ask Dr. DeMartini. I'm going to ask him about two more questions from my side. So, Dr. DeMartini, how often do you suggest a person review their goals? So, how often do you personally review your goals, Dr. DeMartini?
Well, the way I have mine, I used to carry a book around with me. And in fact, I think I have it here in the office. I used to carry a book. When I first started setting my goals, it was a piece of paper. That was 1972. Then it became two pieces of paper. Then three. Then four. Then five. And I kept reading it, refining it, adding bits and pieces. Anytime I found something that was inspiring and everything else, I just kept reading it, refining it. Then it turned into a little slide-in folder thing, a little plastic folder. You slid them in because there was too many pages to just staple. And then I put them in a little GBC binding thing. Then I put them in a wire-bound thing. Then it became one volume, then two volume, three volume, four volume. Now I have 24 files, 5,000 plus pages, 5,000 almost 300 pages of my master plan book, my state of the mission book. I call it the state of the mission. And the goals is not all of it is the goals. Part of it is the metrics, and some of it is the gratitude, because I'm a firm believer in documenting every day what I get to do. And I mean, I do it every day. It's like clockwork.
No, I've seen that.
I'm a firm believer in that. And I say that if you're not working out every day, you're not serious. So it's a matter of you read it, you refine it, you tweak it, read it, refine it. Because anybody that set a goal and read it over and over again will tell you that it's impacting. If it's a real goal, not a fantasy, you will see yourself taking action. You will see yourself making results. You'll see yourself synchronizing opportunities. You'll see yourself attracting people, places, things, ideas, and events that come in your life that are line up with it. You'll see it. It's not hard to see. But you it's a matter of time times intensity gives results. The more intensely you focus on something, the less time it takes to get it. So how intensely, are you, how committed are you to the outcome? If you focus a lot on it, you're going to get a result. So I just look at it every day. I don't look at every goal because it's, my book's too big. So what I do is I read it from the beginning. Wherever I stop, I pick up there the next day and I read some more. Wherever I do it, and I edit it as I go and update metrics. What did I get to accomplish? And then if I see I need to update it and tweak it and I need to polish it, I tweak it again and I update the date on it and I keep tweaking it. And I find that that's a very powerful way of just methodically going through the whole thing again and watching my master plan master my life. And it's worked immensely for me. And I try to teach people that in master planning every year. And the ones that apply it, they get the same result. I mean, I've watched the results if people just apply it. But if they do something, it's like anything else. If you go to a seminar or something like that, and you go, oh, that was interesting. I attended. You brag about, oh, I went to that seminar too, and you never did anything with it. Well, then you're pretty foolish. It's not a very good return on your investment. But if you actually go there and apply it and learn, instead of reinventing wheels, you're going to go places. And I'm absolutely certain if master plan's applied as it's instructed, you're going to build momentum. You're going to say thank you. You're going to accomplish things. Just like in the breakthrough experience, if people will look at their love list and work on it and start building a master plan in their life, they're going to be masterful in their life. But if they just kind of expect the world around them to get up and take care of it with a magic genie or whatever, then that's delusional.
Thanks for that, Dr. DeMartini. I've got a question here from Christina Chivers. She says, I've done the breakthrough experience and I know my values, but I still have no vision or real sense of purpose in life. Can you maybe elaborate on that?
Yes. Well, once you identify your values, if your life is certain and you know that your highest value is demonstrated and you can see it, then the question is now ask yourself, what is the highest priority action I can do today, right now, that can help me fulfill that top value? And write that down and then go do that. And I don't mean actions that take, I do it by the day. I chunk it down into daily actions. What is the highest priority action I can do today that can help me fulfill that, make me one step closer to the fulfillment of that highest value? So if I knew that I wanted to travel the world and teach, I asked, what's the highest priority action I can do to help me do that? And I learned from a little video, or not a video, an audio cassette back in the 70s. You learn to play the flute by playing the flute. So I said, okay, I'm gonna master speaking by speaking. I'm gonna master reading by reading. I'm gonna master writing by writing. It's not like I'm a rocket science. So I basically said, okay, every day I'm gonna read, I'm gonna write what I've done and summarize it, and I'll write it into something, into an article or into a summarized form, and I'm gonna share it with somebody.
The next question that we had is, how do you handle goals in the workplace when they have been set for us by a manager or somebody else?
Oh, that's an important question. If you're in a goal, if you're in a company and you're in a job that is less than inspiring, the best way to put it, and you feel that you have duty and responsibility to go and do something that doesn't really engage you, you can bitch, but that isn't going to get you anywhere. You can get frustrated, procrastinate, hesitation. That'll probably get you fired. Or you can do something wise. You can ask yourself, first go and do the value determination process on my website. Identify what's really most valuable to you. Then ask, how is doing this duty at work helping you fulfill what's most meaningful to you? And if you know that this job is a temporary job and you're planning on going somewhere else and starting your own business, for instance, ask, how is this duty, this responsibility right now, helping me get to my next step? How's it going to get me to my next career path, my next business, or whatever? Once you see and answer the question, and don't say, oh, I don't know. It's not. I can't see it. Don't lie to yourself saying that. You've limited your answer. Be accountable. Answer the question. How specifically is doing this job duty right now going to get me to my next step? How does it help me fulfill my life? How does it help me fulfill my highest value? And answer that. Because every time you do, you remyelinate the brain. You set up new pathways in thinking. And you see things on the way, not in the way. And instead of draining you, now you rebuild momentum. And then you get the job done. And you're not procrastinating. Because anytime you can see how that duty is going to help you get what you want, you're more inspired to do it. I always say either go do what you love through delegating or love what you do through linking. So if you have to do it and you can't delegate it to somebody else and go do something that's more inspiring to you, then link it until you can delegate it and give it to somebody and do what's more important. So link it. So ask, how specifically is doing this action going to help me fulfill my values. I've been out on dinner events where I've been with people that are in a social setting. And some people, as you probably have guessed, are really engaging. You want to talk to them and they're talking about things that are really important to you. And others are talking about something that you go, I don't relate to. Boring. And you want to shut down. Your reticular activating system just shuts down. And the other one wakes you up. You're inspired by it. If for some reason you're shutting down, you can sit there and just disown them and just avoid them and be unsocial to them. Or you can do something really smart. You can ask yourself, how is conversing about this helping me get what I want? And make some links in the brain. As they're talking, you can be doing that in your brain. And as you make the links, you'll find your reticular activating system will come online and you'll get engaged. And then you can actually take on what they're saying and lead them into what you want to say. Once you make the links, you can lead them from what they're talking about into what you want to talk about. Take command of the conversation. But if you don't see the link, you just shut off and want to avoid them and shut down and get bored with them. But it's never what's going on the outside. It's your perception of it. And you want to command and embrace. So I teach people how to take whatever happens in their life and turn it on the way in the path of where they want to go. So there doesn't nothing blocks them. And that's what I do in the master planning process. I make sure that when you're setting goals, that the goals are linked and aligned with what you value. You're going to get them done that way. If not, you're going to end up just having a fantasy and procrastinate and then wonder why it's not happening, then not want to set goals and not want to read it. The reason why people don't want to set goals because they haven't made them congruent. They've made them fantasies. They haven't been objectives. They haven't been strategized. And it's painful because they don't get them done. And then so they associate pain with goal setting and eventually shut off and just kind of let the whims of the world run their life. And then they wonder why at the end of their life they have Bonnie Raitt's 5 major regrets and why they have regrets in life. You don't want to have regrets in life. You want to be enthused and inspired by your life. That takes command of focus and priority. So take your job duties and ask how specifically is doing this temporarily until I can delegate it? How doing it temporarily until I start my new career? How does it help me get to the next step? How does it help me fulfill my highest values? And answer that 10, 20, 30 times. The more you answer the answer to that question, the more engaged and inspired that job will be. I've been teaching value applications to companies and consultants and people. I just got through doing one to 80 people in Tokyo just a couple of days ago of linking whatever you're doing in your job to what's valuable to you. And you can turn a job that's uninspiring into something inspiring by a change of perception. You don't have to be a victim of what's going on around you. You don't have to be a victim at your job. You can be master of it. Because once you do, you're now engaged. And when you do, you're more likely to get promotions, opportunities, and that moves you closer to having the goal or the job that you really want. So link what you're doing to the next step, and it'll help you move to the next step in your life.
Thanks for that, Dr. DeMartini. And we got a lot of questions about people having the fear, the fear of, not achieving a goal or, the fear of a goal. What would you...
All right. Well, so anytime you have a fear of a goal, you have a fantasy. That's just a given. Everybody write this down if you're still on there. Thank you for staying on there, by the way. If you have a phobia, which is a fear, it's because you're addicted to a philia, which is a fantasy. And anytime you're setting a goal that's got a positive without the downsides, you have a fantasy. And your brain, with its intuition, brings up the fear to let you know the other side that you're ignoring with the fantasy. And so the phobia is your friend. It's letting you know that you don't have a real objective. You have a fantasy. So that means you don't have a strategy that's taking you to get you what you want. And it's not an objective. It's not balanced. And it's not grounded, not real. And you're not smart with it. But the second you do, the fear goes away. So the fear is not your enemy. It's not a weakness. It's not something you go, oh, my God, I've got some problem with me. I got low self-worth or whatever it is. It's simply you have a goal that's not congruent with your highest values. It hasn't been strategized. It's not balanced. And the second you set one that is, the fear goes away. If I set a goal to, I'm gonna go swim the English Channel, and it's gonna be all pleasure, and I fantasize and I see it nice and fun and enjoyable and da da da. I got a fantasy. The second I get in that cold water against that riptide or that channel current, I'm going to be living in fear because I haven't trained. I don't have a strategy. I don't know what's going to happen. I haven't planned for the worst scenarios. I haven't mitigated the risks. And so you're designed to have fear with that fantasy. But the second you sit down and think of everything that could go wrong, how do you plan for it, prepare for it if it does happen? What are all the most efficient ways of getting across there? What's the best timing? What's the current path? What's the angle to go? And you do your planning and you practice and prepare for it. You don't have a fear. You have an action, and actions break through fears. But that's what strategies are for, to give you the specific actions that you know, so you don't have to think about. When I was in a special missions project at NASA to try to go to biology, study biology in space, go up into space. Yes, I got rejected because I couldn't follow authority, but I got to train there. I would talk to some of the astronauts, and some of the astronauts trained and rehearsed a step of 10,000 steps to go to the moon, for instance, or to the space station, rehearsed it 1,000 times for each step, and there's 1,000 steps. So you got 1,000,000 rehearsals, the kind of thing going on. They can't leave things to chance. They can't leave things to whims, to emotions. If this happens, well, I don't know what I'll do. You have to think out every imaginable scenario and what you would do in those scenarios, so you don't have to have an emotional reaction. But that's when you end up getting sidetracked. Emotions distract you from long-term visions, and strategies get you there. So they practice and strategically think, and then what could go wrong? And if that happens, how do you handle it? And let's practice that in case that's happening, so it's on automatic. Because the same you go in your amygdala, you're going to skew things and distort things and not make your greatest decisions, and you're going to end up reacting. So you have to plan things, strategize them, practice them, rehearse them, and have a real goal with mitigated risks if you want to get an outcome. And some people don't want to do that. They just want to live in la-la land and fantasy, and some things happen that way because they're minor goals, but nothing great will occur that way. You're not going to get to something amazing achievement by fantasies and just kind of go with the flow, and it's not going to happen. Pardon me if that offends you, but I'm just going to state it like it is, because I've seen so many people, kind of the New Age movement, go off on the fantasy that, you know, well, I'm just going to hold a vision, and if it was meant to be, it will happen, and I don't want to have to think about it. I just visualize it in my mind and make a little affirmation, and then it will just manifest. I had a lady come to me one time after The Secret came out, and she said, Dr. DeMartini, what am I doing wrong? I've read the book, The Secret, 20 times. I've watched the movie 6 times. I go out to my mailbox every single day, and there's still not $1 million check in there. What am I doing wrong? And I thought, now that's pretty ridiculous. I said, have you considered going and getting a job or creating a business that serves people so you can earn through service $1 million worth of value? That's a far higher probability than having $1 million check just appear in your check and your thing. You got to be a little probabilistic there and think about the planning there, because that's an illogical plan. But people have fantasies like that, and then they beat themselves up and think there's something wrong with them. Well, there is, in the sense of not setting realistic goals, but there's nothing wrong with them biologically. There's psychologically, they're setting delusions, that's all.
Dr. DeMartini, can you explain how achieving goals impact one's executive function?
Yeah, the second you set a goal that you achieve and you do it, you have momentum building because you want to achieve another goal. But the executive center comes online when you're setting priority goals. So if you achieve something, you probably achieved it because it was priority. And because if it wasn't priority, you probably didn't get around to doing anything. You don't likely to achieve it. So if you do achieve something and it's high in priority, because you achieved it, you have a tendency to want to go on to something greater. And if you set a goal, another one that's priority, and it's strategized, and you see it in your mind's eye, and you take baby steps towards it, you'll get it. So your executive center comes online every time you set priorities. That's as simple as that. The priority means a priori, something that kind of comes from within, and it's in spontaneous action. And that's the kind of goal you want. Something that is actually, you can't wait to get up in the morning and do. You're so inspired about doing it. You're dreaming about it, wanting to get up in the morning and get into action. That's a goal. That's a real objective, I'd call it. Objective means even-minded, not fantasy. Subjective biases are fantasies and nightmares. Objective goals are reasonable and strategic. By the way, I was talking to somebody the other day, and they were saying, you know, John, I can't seem to get ahead financially. And I said, okay, just out of curiosity, I'm going to ask you some questions. What is ahead to you? Well, I want to be able to have more money than I have debts. And I said, all right, so what specifically are you going to do that's going to earn you additional money? I don't know. Well, what exactly is the amount you want? Well, I just don't want to be behind. I said, well, what is your strategy for an action that's going to get you a different result than what you're doing right now? I don't know. That's why I'm asking this question. They're nebulous. They're fantasies. They don't have any things. I said, well, we need to know what you want. How much specifically? What is the service you're doing? What's the fees you're charging? What are you providing for those fees? Is it matching people's needs? You got to get, that's the whole purpose of doing master planning, is to hold you accountable so you get grounded in reality to give you a goal that gives you an achievement. And many people don't know. In master planning, there's 2,000 questions. It's like me sitting over your shoulders and asking you very grounding questions to make sure you're real and not setting up delusions, and then holding you accountable to answer those questions and then getting a result. And that, when I'm working and consulting with people, I've asked people questions to help them achieve what they want in their business or in their whatever the areas they want to consult in. And if I hold them accountable to those questions and make them answer it, they come up with solutions. They now have a strategy, and then they go out and act and they get it. And that's what master planning is for, to get people grounded enough to set real goals in real times that have real meaning, that are really inspired, that are according to priority, that they chunk down in small bites so they get a result and they know they'll get a result. And they look forward to taking action because they know if they do, they're going to get their result that they want. And it's they're setting something that they can't wait to get done, so it's meaningful. Now you get somewhere. And I'm amazed at some of the cloudy riffraff that's out there in the goal world. I'm, pardon me for just speaking as it is, but that's just, it's crazy some of the stuff I see.
No, that's beautiful, Dr. DeMartini. And that was going to be my next question. I know you've got a curriculum, a variety of programs that you've done. And the one program that you do each year, the beginning of the year, is the Master Planning for Life program. Why did you create that program? Why did you see the need is there for people to do it?
Because over the years, many students were telling me that they had goals. And I found that some of them would set up really massive goals. I had this guy that came to my seminar one time, and he came to the Breakthrough Experience. He said, I want to be the president of the United States. And I said, okay, do you have any background in politics? No. Do you have any background in law? No. Do you have any background in speaking? No. Anything about executive leadership of any form? No. But you want to be a president? Yes. And what's the objective you want to do with it? And I saw people that then a year later and 2 years later had not, I'd ask them, well, how are you doing on your being a president? And they hadn't done anything at all. And I thought, this is just delusions. And I saw so many people playing that. And then I met people that were really executives and really clear and really focused and really prioritizing. And they would get up early in the morning and they would plan things out. They would see it in their mind's eye, and they would have the actions ready. They'd lay them out for the day. They'd get to their priorities, and they'd get amazing things done. I saw that in practice with doctors. I saw that in different fields. And master planning was something that I'd been doing, and people came and wanted to see my master plan book. And I saw that so many people were not really setting real objectives. And I thought, this is insane. So I took all the questions that I'd observed working with people and asking questions to help people get accountable to achieve that were getting results with people. And I put them all together, and I put over 2,000 questions together in each of the 7 areas of life. So I want you to imagine that you have a business plan, a financial plan, a social leadership plan, a family plan, a health plan, a spirituality plan, fitness plan, all. Just sit down and map out how you want your life. And I'd rather you put few things in there that you're certain about than a bunch of fluffy stuff that's just going to distract you. And so I'm interested in blueprinting, as it says on the thing here, how you want your life, your dreams, if you want to call it that, in all 7 areas. And I've been doing that all these years, and I know it works. And it's like insane. It's so frustrating sometimes if I know what somebody can do and I don't see them doing it, and I see them bitching. And I said, just come to the program and let's get it in motion. Let's start changing that, because procrastinating is not going to do it. Setting up fantasies isn't going to do it. Not taking the time is not going to do it. And most people don't give themselves the time. In master planning, I'm going to make you sit down for 3 days and plan. And most people don't love themselves enough to do that. They don't care enough about their goals in life to sit down and actually take the time to plan. They're so busy doing it that they don't have time to plan it. And so I'm making them sit down and get it done. I'm going to be in the front of the room, and I'm going to be answering questions the entire 3 days, like consulting with them. And I'm going to add more questions, and I'm going to help them make sure it's not setting up fantasies, and hold them accountable. And the people that do that, a year later, they come back and this is what they've accomplished. And they share it with people. And then a year later, they come back and they share it with people. And it's remarkable what happens. People that focus. And if they organize and prioritize specific action steps that are real, not delusions, not fantasies, you're going to get somewhere. Because you now know what you get up in the morning. Here's what I'm doing. I know if I do this, I'm going to get my result that I want. And you're also going to be, when you do that, you're not likely to get distracted. And so many people get distracted. So they're setting up fantasies that aren't really high in their values, and they're easily vulnerable to that because they're not getting action. So they inject the values of muscles. When you're living by high priority things, you become a leader. And you're not interested in subordinating to other people. You're interested in sharing what's working with you with others as a leader. And you're also, you know, if you want to build a master plan, you got to build momentum. And it's not overnight. People go, oh, you're lucky. You know, you're gifted. You can speak. And I go, no, if you saw me when I was 18 years old, you'd laugh. Some of the funny talks I did way back in the beginning, if I showed them to you right now, it'd be a comedy routine. It was a slow, steady refinement as I went. People ask me, do you have a fear of speaking? I said, no, I don't have a fear of speaking now. I did. Now I have a fear of not speaking. But I at one time, I couldn't do it. I couldn't even stand up in front of a group of people without having flashbacks of LSD almost in my head. And also making sure that you create a master plan to keep you on track. If you're not metricing on a daily basis or at least weekly basis, and you're not monitoring it, then the goal is obviously not important to you. And because if you really are focused on the goal, it doesn't go out of your mind. You think about it every day. I think about traveling the world and teach every day. I don't have to be reminded of that. So if I set up a goal that's around that, I'm going to achieve it. I'm going to get it done. I'm not going to procrastinate. I'm not going to get distracted by it. I'm going to focus on it. And I believe that your people say, well, you can't live your dreams. That's fantasy. You're going to beat yourself up. Well, if it's a real, real, real objective, and it's truly inspiring and meaningful and priority to you, you can get it done. But if you're setting up fantasies that aren't really neat, you're comparing yourself to others. You know, I when I was in practice many years ago, I learned a little bit in my mid to late 20s. I had a really interesting observation. I started consulting with other doctors, and I noticed that the doctors were going to consultants, and the consultants that were leading were doing really well. And they had a system to follow. And then I found out that some people would attempt to follow it but couldn't do it and kept procrastinating, and others followed it and got great results. And I thought, isn't that interesting? If they would do it, they'd get results, but they're not doing it. Why are they not doing it? And then I'd find out that they'd bail out of that consultant and go with another consultant. And then all of a sudden, they would excel. And the strategy wasn't drastically different, but some of the reasons for doing it were. And I found out when they were aligned with their values, they would act. And when they weren't aligned, they weren't. And that's why I really put emphasis on values, because if people are not, they're not going to do things that are low on their values. They're going to do things high. And if it's not congruent with that, it's not going to happen. So I'm a firm believer that you have to set goals that are really congruent. In Master Planning for Life, in the very beginning of it, we sit down and do your values again. I show you how to structure a goal, how to make sure it's congruent. Look at what your standards are. Look at what's unique in you. Look at what your life is demonstrating, and not what you hope to be fantasizing, but what your life demonstrates you're building momentum on, to set a goal that's got momentum behind it. So you have a higher probability of achieving it. And it's a profound realization through those 3 days. And I really believe it could change the course of your life, because people that do that and they set goals and they do it and they work on it, they get results. But if you don't work on it and you just kind of go through the whims and don't really hold yourself accountable and write down fantasies, and you deserve to have feedback from the universe to let you know, fantasy, phobia, not getting things done, procrastination. And then you don't want to set goals because it's pain. Please show you how to set a goal that is meaningful, that is inspiring, that is prioritized, that will give you a result that you'll build momentum on, so you can continue to expand yourself and contribute on a bigger scale. There is a way of doing it. It's a science. It's not that hard. There's so much, as Dirac, the Nobel Prize winner, said, it's not that we don't know so much. We know so much that isn't so. We've been taught so much crap out there that isn't so, that's distracting people from getting onto the things that work.
Dr. DeMartini, do you have anything else to add for us?
Yeah. The most significant book of my life is my State of My Mission book, Emil. I think you've probably seen a portion of that. Mm. That's the most significant book of my life. When I pass on somewhere in the future here, that book, I don't know how many thousands of pages it'll be, but it'll probably be around 30 volumes. And I want to leave that behind because I want people to see that you can achieve what you set out to do. And here's actually everything that happened and how it was done. To me, that's an important piece for my own family and children and for my students to realize that, you know, if you put the effort into it and you stay focused on something, you can achieve amazing things. And I wanted to do that because it's just worked for me. And I've seen it work for a lot of my students, thousands of them. And I wanted to leave that behind. That's one of the most significant books in my life. That's the book that began the day I met Paul Bragg. Because he said to set a goal for yourself, your family, your community, your city, your state, your nation, and your world and beyond for 100 to 120 years. That was the beginning of my master plan book. My master plan book now is 24 volumes. It's 24 volumes over 5,300 pages. And because I can't get them all, the files, you know, it's files on my computer. I can't get them all on the computer because I've got pictures with it, metrics with it, video clips with it. And a lot of that is now the goals that I have for my students also, because sometimes they'll say, I want to get this done. And so I'm rooting for them. I want them to get their achievements. And so I get feedback and metrics on their own progress. I mean, there's a new movie coming out that's Drope. It's about to launch throughout America and part of the world. And I've been working with that gentleman now for 6 years, getting that movie into reality. It's just about to launch. It's going to be a big movie, be all over America and then around the world. That's 6 year planning we did on that to get that goal. And the same thing in another movie. Some of my friends in London, they're doing movies and they're doing it. They work for these things. They work, plan, and structure these things. So I getting to see that now is in my master plan book, because now my master plan includes my students achieving theirs. And that is one of the most inspiring things I have in my life. So documenting what you do and getting a list of gratitudes of what's happening that you're setting out to achieve, I want people to know what that's like. I want to know, because they'll, when they do that and they see mine, they'll see why I put the hours into it. Because the rewards of that have been extremely rewarding and empowering. So I hope that the people come to the master planning, because I just know it will be a turning point in how they take command of their life and set it up and structure their life. So I it's just insane not to do it. I wish I could just grab people around the neck and say, just be here.
Dr. DeMartini, do you have any closing comments for us?
Just for the next 2 weeks, contemplate and think about what you dream about, what you want to accomplish in your life. And then when master plan comes there, let's put it down on paper and get it on computer, and let's get it in motion. Let's make it happen. Because I guarantee you, you know, at the end of your life, you got two ways of answering your end of your life. Did I do everything I could with everything I was given? You could say yes, or you could say no. One's going to lead you to regret. The other one's going to leave you with enthusiasm and gratitude for your existence. So if you can either plan your life or let other people run your life. I'd rather plan it. And so I just want people to come and join that, because I know it'll be a turning point in their life. It's that simple.
And that brings us to the end of another episode. From here, Dr. DeMartini recommends you head over to drdemartini.com/values to discover and determine your values today. You'll also find an incredible amount of blogs, videos, research materials, online courses, and exactly how you can sign up for the breakthrough experience in your local city. We look forward to sharing more inspired insights with you on the next episode. Bye for now.